Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you. You've heard our cries, our supplications. You are God, you answer. You said your word does not return void. We just want to thank you, Lord. As I minister today, I pray that you touch my mouth of clay and use it to speak your word, so that your word will go forth and it will touch people. I just want to give you the glory and I want to give you the honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. One of the things that has been happening in my life of late, there's a situation that arose in my family. And that situation really took me by surprise. It took me literally by shock, actually, to be quite honest, because it was not something I was expecting. And it led me to question myself as a person. It led me to ask questions, and I said, am I really close to you, Lord? Do I really know you if situations like this are permitted to happen in my space? Because it was something that I did not expect to happen in my space. And I went back to reflect to who I am as a person and my relationship with God. And I soon realized my relationship, I was in a comfort zone, which is a very dangerous place to be when it comes to God, because we become very comfortable and we lose that essence of knowing God. So I went back to basics. I really went back to basics. And my prayer partner, Carol, is with me, and I told her what I was going through, and we said we'll pray, but I had to go back to basics myself to change my relationship with God. And we had to dedicate myself. And one of the things, as I was reading the Bible, one of the things I noticed in the Bible was that most people prayed at midnight. So I'm not trying to say do that, but I had to change my way of praying. And so in my house today, my husband actually thinks I'm a bit crazy, but you have to be crazy for God to work with you and for God to speak to you. You don't do the normal things, so people say you're crazy, but that's how God is. You know, God, you know, that's God, you know. So I do my prayers in the midnight. I mean, I wake up at about 11:30, and I do my prayers at night, and I've found there were a lot of things which were not right with me because I had gone to that place of being complacent, being comfortable with the things of God. I was just going to church every day. I was speaking the word. I was speaking the jargon. And I really thought I was with God, but I wasn't. I was so far away from God. And believe you me, this has been happening for the past 1 year. And you know what? God is so good. I'm standing here, and that situation is changing. I see the change. I see what's happening in that situation, and I just want to praise God for it, because for me, it is a testimony. The situation hasn't really come to an end, but I see a change in the situation, and it can only be God. Because God has been dealing with me. Sometimes when we are in a situation, we want to change the situation instead of changing ourselves. And in this place, God had to change me first before he could touch my situation. I chose Isaiah 53:1-5 because of that my situation. And I really felt, you know, God really wants to work with us. And I chose Psalm 103. because it says God heals all our diseases. Our story with healing has been with us since the beginning of the world. When I was thinking of this topic, I decided to look at the dictionary to see what the word healing means. Heal means, according to Collins' dictionary, is to restore to health, to repair by natural process such as a wound or a burn, to restore relationships such as friendships, harmony in a situation. What I'm going to say today is that God uses many types of healing. God will use doctors to heal us, who will then prescribe medication for us to take, and that heals. God wants us to be healed and be restored to full health. That is mentally, physically, and spiritually. That is what God calls prosperity. As I have read what I'm trying to say, I'll start with Isaiah 53:1-5. Here we come across Isaiah prophesying about the sin-bearing Messiah, who would then be crucified for us in order to redeem us from our sins. Tying this passage, we could also tie it with John 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." We know that the Messiah came up to us, and he came to dwell upon us. He came to dwell among us as a person, because he was the beginning and the author and the finisher of our faith. Medical science has done a lot of good in terms of health. However, the church has been a bit silent about the healing power of Christ. Jesus Christ came as the Word, as in John says, and dwelt among us to show us the way. He had to be crucified as Isaiah had promised, as prophesied, that he would die a cruel death for us. Isaiah goes on to say that by his stripes we are healed. Can we imagine ourselves giving up our lives even for our own children? You know, I have one son, and sometimes he puts me through difficult situations. There are certain things sometimes I think here, this is where we end. I am not going beyond that with you, because no matter how much I love you, I'm going to stop here. But Jesus did not do that. He went to the cross. He did it. Jesus did it for free, to free us from our transgressions, so that we will be fully restored to God. He willingly went to the cross to purchase our healing for everyone, and he did it freely. When Jesus came, he taught us how to rely on God. Jesus relied 100% on his Father, and he wants us to do the same. In today's church, there's a lot of controversy as to whether what the scriptural meaning of Isaiah 53:5 is, "by his stripes we are healed," refers. Some people say it only refers to spiritual, emotional, or whether it refers to spiritual, emotional, or physical healing. I'm sure Isaiah knew that this would happen in the days to come. And as we look at Isaiah 53, he starts out with asking a question: who would have believed our report? Because he knew people were going to doubt. The Holy Spirit gave him an in-depth supernatural understanding of how the Messiah would embrace great suffering for our redemption so that we could be healed. Some will say it only refers to spiritual healing only, meaning that the sole purpose of the atonement is to forgive us of our sins, to that we can be reconciled back to our Heavenly Father and have eternal life with him through the suffering of Christ. Yes, Jesus did suffer for this purpose, and we are not to take our salvation lightly. However, this is not the only reason of our atonement. Let's start with. He has borne our griefs. According to Strong's Concordance, griefs for the Hebrew word is choli. It means sickness, and carried our sorrows. The strong definition for the word sorrows in Hebrew would word is makob, which means both mental and physical pain. He was bruised for our iniquities. According to the same concordance, the definition of iniquities translated from Hebrew word avon means perversity or sin. Finally, we look healed from the portion, by his stripes we are healed. The Strong's reference says, the word comes from the Hebrew word rapha, which means healer, to cure, heal, repair, and make whole. When we look at Isaiah 53:4-5, it is holistic that the atonement, redemptive blood of Jesus does in fact provide spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. When you look at Psalm 103, it says, he heals all your diseases. It says all and not some. Therefore, his word is truth. In Proverbs 4, I went back to read Proverbs 4, verse 20-22. It states, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all flesh. This Jesus is the very same Jesus who we find in Philippians 2:5-8, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The story of Jesus is still with us today. However, he stated in John 16 from verse 7 that it was for our advantage that he goes away so that the third person of the Trinity can come and be with us here on earth. And we know the Holy Spirit is with us here on earth. He is our helper. And Jesus was going to send him so that he would convict the world of sin and of righteousness, because he was going to his Father. This we know was fulfilled in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. You know, healing still happens. Miraculous healing still takes place. And sometimes as people of the church, we become a bit scared to talk about it. We're even scared when we see people. I have a situation. I was talking to Carol when I was on my way here. I have a friend who just passed away just before Christmas. And she was a young woman, 53. And I went into hospital. She had stage 4 cancer. And I went into hospital. And I really felt I needed to pray for her. There were people around me. And I was afraid of the people around me to say, can I pray with her? I wasn't sure what they would say if I said, I'm going to pray with this woman. I want to pray with her. Everybody was looking at me. And the Sunday that I was really thinking of her, I didn't pray. And when I left the hospital, the Holy Spirit said to me, why didn't you pray? And I didn't have an answer, because I knew I had failed to pray. I knew that I had just failed to do what I was supposed to do. And on that Sunday, when I went looking for her at Western General, they told me she had been discharged. Apparently, she had gone to Marie Curie, and that was the day she was passing on. And I was thinking of her, and I was thinking, I didn't pray. And I think that I'm going to answer to the Lord, I don't know. And sometimes we ask these questions when young people like that, who's 53, goes And you say, why, Lord? But God knows. In my reading about healing, I met a woman called Becky Dovarak. She has written a healing creed which keeps falling, which I'm going to read to you. It's quite interesting. She calls it the healing creed. And she says, we should be doing this. And if we are not well, just read it to ourselves every day. And I found it very powerful. And she says, I believe in Jesus, the Messiah, and in the power of his blood to heal. And then she puts scriptures to back that up. He bore my griefs, carried my sorrows and pains, was wounded for my transgressions, crushed for my wickedness. The punishment for my well-being fell upon him, and by his wounds I am healed. I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, the thief, the devil, who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and loosed from the contents within his hands, the curse, and delivered from the spirit of fear and the power of death. I am an ambassador of Messiah. As Jesus is, so I am on this earth. Like him, I humbly walk in the power of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, so that I can effectively carry out official kingdom business, such as to heal and be healed for his glory. I possess his authority over Satan and all of his wicked works, including sickness and disease. Therefore, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. I bless the sweet lamp of God. I remember of all his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, heals all my diseases, redeems my life from destruction, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies my mouth with good things, and renews my youth like the eagle. I'm grateful that you are both able and willing to heal me in spirit, soul, and body. I partake of your bread of life and drink from the cup, your new covenant, to restore health to me and to heal me of my wounds with your healing balm of Gilead. Jehovah Rapha is my great physician. His medical report declares his spirit gives life to my mortal body, and my faith makes me whole. I accept his advice to choose life that I may live. I receive beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I take his medicine, laughter, and joy for my strength. I heed his counsel and repent, rid myself of bitterness, forgive others, and empower my faith by love. With wisdom from on high, I activate the sword of the Spirit with the realization that I possess the power of life and death in my tongue. I exercise his authority, and I curse this sickness at its very root and seed, and say no disease will prosper in my body. When I am weak, I thank him that he remains strong in me, and I boldly declare his abundant life, healing power, and supernatural strength to overtake my body, in Jesus' name. And she says at the end of this card, I encourage you to do this all the time. And I've started doing it, and I've really started seeing a difference in me, because I read it every day and I move around with it. And that's actually what led me to actually, because as you know, I think most of you know, I live with a long-term condition. There was a time when I was given 18 months prognosis to live. And my doctor, when I went to see him, he says, you've got 18 months to live. And as I am standing here, I've been 15 years since that prognosis was given. So I know God does heal. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but by His Spirit, that I am standing here because I am a testimony of God's grace and God's healing power. And I have seen people dying who are younger than me, like this young woman that I saw. She died. She had the same condition as me, but she passed on at 53. And I was a bit taken aback, because I was thinking this should not happen to a young woman. But God's grace is so abounding on us, that it will keep us going. It will keep us strong. It will show us, and I am a living testimony. As I stand here, I will say, I'm a testimony, because I should have been dead. I should have died a long time ago. As Christians, we live in this world, but we are not of this world, or worldly in our beliefs, words, or actions. We are people of faith, and faith begins with hope in our Savior. And what He has done for us in Proverbs 13:12 tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. As Christians, we should encourage our loved ones to have hope in the healing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to touch each and every one of us and impart healing to us regardless of what it is that is bothering us. You know, God is so willing to heal us. I mean, as I have said to you, my current situation, I was really, really, really distraught. I remember crying in my car, you know, weeping. And as an African woman, we really weep. We don't do the handkerchief thing. No, we weep and we make noise. And I really did. I was weeping. In my car, I would sit in my car and I'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. What is going on in my life? Because I didn't know. The only place I could weep like that was my car, because that's the only place my husband is not there, because he would say, I'm making noise. So I would go into my car and I would weep in my car, because it was really distressing and distraught to me to see that situation. But you know what? God has been good. God has been really good. We must always remember that God is wanting to fulfill His word. He wants us to trust in Him and does not want His promises. He does want His promises to do what He sent them for. God is truthful. God is not a man that He should lie, nor son of man that He should repent. He has said he has said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, will He not make it good? We find that in Numbers 23:19. God is just. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. A God of truth and with injustice, righteous and upright. God is able, and being fully convinced that what He has promised, He was also able to perform. He is willing. When we read the Bible, we find that in Matthew, He healed them all of their diseases. There was not even one person who went to Jesus and came back not healed. Every one of them was healed. He healed them all, and He wants that for us. So I know He's able, and He's willing to do it. And when Jesus went out, His hand and touched Him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately His leprosy was cleansed. That's Matthew 8:3. He is faithful. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. His faithfulness is unconditional. You know, we tend to have conditions. I've been having a situation with my son recently. we went into an agreement, which I thought at the time was a really good agreement, but I didn't realize young people, you don't go into agreements with them like that, especially when it involves finance. So we went into this agreement, and he's not met his bit of his agreement. And I am now beginning to give him conditions on that agreement because I don't have that kind of love for him because this is going to cost me a lot of money. So it's not unconditional love. For me, with him, at this moment, we are having this negotiating process we are going through. I have said, if you do not meet these conditions, this is what is going to happen. But God is not like that. His faithfulness is unconditional. He's just, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He is there to stand with us. So if we go to God with whatever situation, be it physical, be it mental, be it emotional, be it family, God is going to bring healing. Because that's why he came. That's why Isaiah prophesied. That's why he came and he went to the cross. That's why Jesus came. But it also starts when we have faith. And faith comes to us by hearing and hearing the word of God. If we do not sit and study the word of God, if I tell you how much I've been studying the word of God since last year when this situation came into the open, you have no idea. I have stopped watching television because I have realized television actually steals a lot of stuff from me. My mind becomes so distracted with things that really do not matter. So some of the things that the only thing sometimes I do is I watch news. And then after that, I just go back and do my study. And my room right now, my study room, I've got a spare room that I use, is full of books. And I'm buying all sorts of literature when it comes to Christianity because I really need to get this word to fill me. Because if it doesn't fill me, it's not going to work in my situation. I have to have the word working because he says his word does not return void. I've been reading one guy recently who said, the most important thing you can do is to pray. Something is going to move. Something is going to change. Something is going to happen. And the only thing we can do is to pray and to believe that he can and he's able and he will do it. His answer might not be what we want because there are certain things that we want as human beings. But his answer is always the right one for us. And sometimes we look back at situation reflectively and realize, actually, that answer I got was the best one I could have had. Because if I had gotten what I wanted, oh my God, I would be somewhere else. God does not make mistakes. God never makes mistakes. Believe you me, he doesn't. My life has been a testimony. One day, you get to know about my life. It's been a testimony. I don't even know how I escaped some of the things that I went through. But it was God's hand on my life. And sometimes I didn't even know him then. But he knew me. So I just encourage you to get into your word and to understand because his word does not return void. It will accomplish. And to plead the blood of Jesus. He came and he died for us. He didn't go to the cross for nothing. He went to the cross for you and me. So that we have this authority. We have this power. You know, sometimes when I'm walking in this world that I live in, people laugh at Christians. We are laughed, we are scorned. But he never said we would not be laughed at. He said it, Jesus, when he was here on earth. You'll be scorned and you'll be despised. Even what I've read, We will be despised, but we need to also remember that even when people are despising us, we have that authority, we have that power that Jesus Christ came to give us. And we can tap into it. You know, I used to believe, you know, there was a time when I was young, I used to run from one miracle church to another to get pastors to touch my head because I wanted God to touch me in all that. But you know, of late I've actually realized we all were given that authority. Each and every one of us in this room has got that authority. You do not need to go to a pastor to touch your head to have that authority. You can even pray for your own self to get well, and you will get well. Yes, you need other people to help you, to intercede, to do stuff, but we have that authority. And we need to plead the blood of Jesus. We need to activate the power in us. And we need to read our word and to speak the word. And God will do his bit. But we need to get up and do it. And with that, I just say thank you. And if we start praying, we'll see changes in our lives. We'll see things happening. Thank you very much.